going through the car wash this week. Is Chiefs' style of football easy on the eye?
To be honest with you, it's been a while for me to actually say Chiefs has played sexy, and even under
Baxter.
Yeah. They were not.
We auditioned for the Lion King sequel.
Look, when I hate saying when I was, but
when I was a young warthog.
All our minds went there at exactly the same time.
And Messi does it again and again and again.
He breaks Champions League record by scoring against 34 different Champions League opponents.
Imagine on a 7-0 game, you have an assist, two assists, and a goal. Like, who does that?
Someone who doesn't get injured.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on Sokola Duma Radio. This is a having a car.
So bad. That's good.
Welcome to the car wash. I am your host, Slew Power, and today is a great day to have a dirty vehicle driving in with the dirtiest car of them all. Sean Roberts, how are you doing today?
I'm good, buddy. That has got so many sexual connotations, it's not even funny.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm completely vanilla.
Teko's nodding.
Your mind.
Teko's nodding.
And vanilla. Of course, to introduce, Teko Modise, how are you doing today?
How are you, Vanilla Ice?
I am very good.
It's more like dirty snow with those glasses.
Dirty benches.
Chocolate, I don't know, Chocolate Thunder. What's a good... I need a great porn star name. That's for another
Chocolate
time.
Thunder, I like it.
We're chasing very particular sponsorships. So we've got the Telkom Knockout semi-finals to recap.
Sure.
We just missed out on the dream final there because Eric Tinkler came through and just broke down Chiefs tactics there. What did you make of the two semi-finals?
Sure. I think the Sundowns Arrows... could have gone either way towards the end, but I think the better team won. I think the better team deserves to be where they are. And I think the Maritzburg Chiefs game, I think, if you defend the way Chiefs did, if you don't have a different sort of game plan coming up with a sort of unpredictable team that Maritzburg are, you're going to get punished. And that's exactly what happened.
Definitely.
Sex?
For me, with the Irish and Sundowns game, I think... Steve Compella would have figured out that, you know, when you see, is it Alfonso? You know, when he's there, Sundowns are going to rely on crosses for him actually to be effective. And
Cirino playing off his shoulders.
Yeah. So it was that predictable.
Yeah.
Because whenever Sundowns plays with a false nine, then they become complex and becomes difficult actually to contain them. But with Alfonso, I think it becomes easier. And I think if Arrows could have avoided those crosses coming in, they would have stood a chance, you know, to actually try and win the game. And, but at the end of the day, Sundowns won. And I knew that Pito hates losing back-to-back, so it was going to be very, very difficult if he lost the game.
I think Arrows defensively on set pieces are just...
Yeah, that's just horrible.
Sure.
Yeah, that was shocking. And then for the big game, Maritzburg against Kaizer Chiefs, that was a very, very exciting game. And
did you do it? You went there, huh?
No, I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I made sure that was clear on the TV, though. It's just that the way that Maritzburg played, you know, when Maritzburg had the ball, after defending, when they had the ball, they always found an outlet to play. There was always somebody, and they were not relying on those long balls.
Yeah.
And sometimes Keegan Buchanan will do that because he's a good pass of the ball. You always look for a further person to play for, but this time he played the closest person to the ball, so it was very effective and it worked for them, because yet again Kaizer Chiefs is a team that actually plays on transition, so they don't care about position. So now if you give them position, they don't know what to do with it. And that's what Maritzburg did. They gave Kaizer Chiefs position. They didn't know what to do with it, because now Kaizer Chiefs are looking to find those spaces where Frostler could go in and cross the ball.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get those spaces.
Again, too predictable as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now, because they had so much position, they started playing highline. If you check the first goal that Musiah Mady scored, it was a highline. You know what I'm saying? So it's very unlikely for Chiefs to play a highline defense. Especially with Matou not there, because Matou has speed as well.
So it was a makeshift defense.
Yeah. You know, and for Eric also, I think he planned it proper. You know, it's as a coach, I think you always feel great when your preparations work out on the game. because you can prepare as much as you want, but if it doesn't work out in the game, it looks like you didn't prepare at all. And I think Maritzburg prepared very well. And, you know, sometimes you need a little bit of luck, and on the day everything went well for them. And yeah, man, they scored. And even though Chiefs looked like they'll come back, you know, that second goal was a killer. Yeah. And I'm happy for Maritzburg. I mean, it was a great, great, great game. And I don't remember seeing Maritzburg playing that well. Actually, the last time I saw Maritzburg playing that well was when they're in relegation.
Yeah,
they were playing that well.
They just seem to have got their midfield right, eh? Like you were saying, I mean, Dalen Klaas and Buchanan, Miguel Tim, they were just completely dominated.
You know how good Tim is.
Yeah.
Like, it's so underrated.
Yeah.
Tim is so good. And what I liked about Maritzburg on the game was everything they were doing, it was simple.
Yeah.
You know how difficult it is to play simple,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they were doing that.
Especially against a big team
with so much crowd. And I think I was scared that it would probably be overwhelmed by the crowd, but actually, you know, it worked for them because now they kept to their game plan, and it worked for them. It's just that, yeah, I mean, also Kansas City's played on the day.
Yeah.
It didn't
yeah.
help as well. And then, of very course, really you try and look at the excuses that Svanban wasn't there, this one was there. But in all fairness, I don't even remember the last time I watched Kansas Chiefs play, and then after the game, I'm like, wow, they actually played great today.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
And I think big ups Tinkler, because, I mean, he broke it down in the post-match interview, but it's also kind of the cover story. If you're listening, I'm holding.
He's holding up the paper now.
I'm holding up the paper. Yeah, shaking the paper. It's the cover story how Tinkler exposed Chiefs' blueprint. You know, he had a very defensive structure, compact. Or his defensive structure was compact. Sorry, with the fullbacks being able to challenge in the air, playing on the counter attack, and targeting Sussman and Frostler particularly, kind of swallowing up those outlets. And then, you know, he was saying after the match, they could have been up 3-0 at halftime. It was that bad of a performance.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what Maritzburg did was they neutralized the striker.
Mirkovic.
They completely neutralized him.
Yeah.
I thought Derek was unbelievable in the game.
Yeah,
he's one of the
He was my man of the match.
Oh man, he's certainly one of the best, in my opinion. One of the best. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And obviously Musa Mehdi's goals were superb. Unfortunately, Cardoso had an average game, which we're not used to. But he was very exposed with the youngsters around him. You know, you're going to start Frostler. Okay, he's playing well. Sussman still finding himself at Chiefs. Blum, 19 years old, playing in a game like that. I'm not too sure. Out of position.
Yeah.
And you had Kunene and I think Morgan on the left flank. We're getting so much freedom down that left flank.
Yeah.
Just bizarre. And then obviously the result last night was two different teams. They obviously missed Katsanda. You could see that.
Yeah,
they missed Katsanda. We spoke about that at length.
Yeah.
I think obviously Katsanda's a better defensive player than Maluleka, but lacks what Maluleka has in terms of distribution.
True.
So if they get that combination right, then completely outmastered, I think, by Eric.
And also, Sean, on that, Kansas Chiefs strive on Lebo Manyama. People actually don't realize the importance of Lebo Manyama in that team. When Lebo's on song, Chiefs on song.
Sure.
Yeah. And what Lebo does is defensively, he positions himself in a way that when Kansas Chiefs win the ball, he's the first one on the ball. He's the first one to start those transitions.
Yeah.
And now what Maritzburg did after losing the ball, they were closing Lebo down. So now they were forced now to have the ball at the back. You play Frosta. If you look at the game, Frosta was always having the ball, but he didn't have a way forward.
He was always
playing the ball backwards because they couldn't find Manyama. So now it became a problem. So now when Manyama starts coming deeper to try and fetch the ball, he's no longer dangerous now. But when Manyama is up the field because he carries the ball. Now, when he carries the ball, that's when Yanukovic started getting engaged, or Castro started getting engaged. So it became a very, very difficult game for them because they played, you know, unusual because Maritzburg forced them to do so. And if anybody's listening, any coach is listening that is going to play against Kansas Chiefs, if you isolate Lebo Manyama, you stand a very good chance because he's the master of...
That's a good point.
I'm telling you, when Lebo Manyama was on fire, when he won football of the year, he was playing under Eric, and Eric was playing a counter-attacking system. Lebo masters that. Lebo masters the space. He knows how to play in between the lines. But what's important about Lebo is he doesn't pass too early. He knows when to pass, and he can carry the ball.
He's matured as a player.
So if you isolate that, because now that's what Mourinho is doing. Mourinho has never played any system that is different to what he's doing now. Even when he was at Maritzburg, that the other t- couple of years back, he was still playing the same system. He was very counter-attack, you know, transitional game. That's what Kaiser Chiefs is doing now. Yeah. Now, with Kaiser Chiefs, that's why they look dangerous when Zuma comes in, because Zuma is a transitional player. Yeah. Nego is a transitional player. Kama is. But now, if you start, isolate the person that actually knows how to pass the ball with that transition, which is Lebo, you stand a very good chance.
And you f*** them.
Yeah, yeah. You always find Katsande isolated anyway.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. And I mean, I wish, or at least Stellenbosch will have wished that they could have gotten that advice from you.
Just a day too late, Jekyll. But you know, just to stay on Chiefs quickly, not too much on Chiefs, but are they really playing championship football? Do you know what I mean? I mean, is it sexy Chiefs that, or has it ever been sexy Chiefs? Do you ever remember Chiefs being sexy football?
To be honest with you, it's been a while for me to actually say Chiefs has played sexy, and even under
Baxter.
Yeah. They were not. You know, I remember they were very deadly on set pieces. And at that time, they had Yoshaba, they had Yeye, Mashamaite. Still, they won the league, I think. But still, they were not playing sexy, right? Yeah. And then here you are as a Kaizer Chiefs fan. You haven't won a league, or as a Kaizer Chiefs management or club, you haven't won anything, you know, for last couple of years. And then now your biggest ambition this season is to try and have a silverware, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then now you come back, you're number one on the lock with 10 points. And then you're still complaining about, but we're not playing sexy.
What do you want as a fan?
Exactly.
What's your opinion on that?
My opinion is you need to start somewhere first.
Yeah.
Like for me is if I'm the Chiefs management or the coach, the first thing that I want to do first is for me to build the confidence back or the feeling of winning back. So I need to win something back. Then I can start improvising or changing certain things in terms of how we play. But the first thing is, Mourinho knows that if he doesn't win anything, he's out. Every coach that hasn't won anything in the last three years, he's gone. So what do you want Mourinho to do? You want Mourinho to win the league or to play sexy? You need to choose. Because we all know that Kaizer Chiefs, the way they're playing, they're not playing sexy at all. Yeah. If you want them to play sexy, they'll play sexy, and then they'll end up number 7 or 9 on the lock, like they did last season.
Yeah.
So you need to choose what you want. For me, if I'm Kaizer Taung, I'll tell Mourinho, bring me a trophy, and then let's talk after the trophy.
Let's chat after that. Let's chat a new contract as well. Yeah. But interesting after the game last night, Seko. A convincing win for Chiefs. Stellenbosch very poor.
Mm-hmm.
He said, everybody at the club needs to understand that every game is not how everybody wants it to be. So, you know,
who's everybody?
Something is going
on. Who is?
Yeah.
There's some trouble in paradise. It's interesting to me that now we actually get to look back on this, the first half of this season and go, great start for Chiefs in the league only.
Yeah.
MTN 8 didn't do well. Telkom knockout.
They were not there in MTN 8. They were not there.
And then.
They weren't there, Slu.
Come on.
MTN
8. Where do you work, you malak?
Come on, Slu. You sound like me now.
Simon, just change seats, bro.
My bad. MTN 8 not there, but Telkom knockout.
Sure.
They're gone in the semis. And then we're going to have the Nedbank Cup soon. And so it's starting to feel like it has to be the league. Like they can't let this lead slip.
So having said that, now we look at Chiefs squad. Do they have enough depth?
Nope.
Straight up no. And I couldn't agree more. We saw that on the last weekend, or this weekend, with the Telkom, with the semi-final.
Defensive issues.
Look, Sean, I've said this a couple of games in the league for Kaizer Chiefs. Because what Mourinho is doing is always doing the same things, and it works for him. Like whenever he needs more firepower up front, he always puts in Zuma. Zuma, who has fresh legs, is very tricky. But with his talent, he should be scoring more goals than he is, actually. So now, the thing is, when you realize all these subs, it's only Zuma that has the legs or the speed or the trickery that can actually unlock the defenders.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say now, the reason also, maybe yesterday, Kama was back, he brought something into the team. So now when Kama is on the pitch, it draws the attention to him.
Yeah, when he's on the pitch.
When he's on the pitch. So now when he's not on the pitch, now the attention...
I love swearing.
Sound like you put him in like your fantasy team.
Yeah.
Getting into
he's my boy. I love Kama.
I love Kama. So when Kama... Everybody knows how dangerous Kama is. And also now, Nukovic, like, people need to start paying attention to that boy. He's very good. So now... Chiefs, if Zuma's not there as a sub, or let's say for argument's sake, and then because Kama now, you went out yesterday injured, let's say he's not fit for the next game. Ne? So now it forces Mulindop to start Zuma. And then if things aren't going well, who is on the bench to actually come and change the game?
That's the thing. Chiefs?
There is no one.
Yeah.
And it looks like Kaiser Chiefs are not going to sign in January. And if they do sign, who are they going to buy? They don't buy. So who are they going to buy? So now my
sort question, of cat.
Yeah. So my question is, they need to get as many points as they can right now, because second round of the league, all the big teams are going to come back. I promise you, Paris is going to come back.
Yeah.
I promise you, Sundowns is going to come back. Vets is going to come back. Supersport is going to come back. So now, and those teams have got depth. You know, they've got a bench.
Sure.
Kaiser Chiefs, they don't have a bench.
Yeah.
On the bench, they've got only, I looked at yesterday, it's only midfield. It was Josh Maluleka, that other boy, Zuma also.
Yeah.
They played him in the midfield, I think, when he came on. There was Castro on the bench. There was Ndia on the bench. Yeah.
Defensive,
there was Zuma. So the only player that was very, very attack-minded was Zuma.
Yeah.
And Castro is if you put in Castro, which means you must take out Nukovic, because it's like for like.
Sure.
Other than that, there's nobody.
Yeah.
If Leo Manyama gets injured, there's nobody that will play.
But they've got a big squad, eh? Like, there's a big squad there training. It's bizarre.
It is. And you know,
they look nice on pictures.
It's funny that Chiefs has these issues, because they don't have the busiest schedule. You know, I was looking at both Sundowns and Vits, and between December, January, and February, it gets insane. It's
ridiculous.
For them. Game every four days, and then we still have the Nedbank Cup draw. So it's like, imagine if Chiefs were in that position right now, leading the league, but they still have every other contest. I think they struggle a lot, like you said, with this lack of depth in attack and defense.
Yeah.
In defense,
I think if they're going to win the league, you've got to be starting your players like Katsanda. And I think for every game he's captain this season, they haven't lost, or they've actually won.
Yeah.
And how do you start introducing the youth when you're chasing the league? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It, you could see it didn't work in the Telkom Cup. It just didn't.
Yeah.
So it's but on a more positive note, they have scored more goals than Maritzburg, Baraka, and AmaZulu combined.
Yes.
Wow, Sean.
How's that, eh? Thank you, Joe Cran. Appreciate that.
Also, them hitting 30 points from their first possible 36. They're the only team to have ever done that in the 16-team PSL era. So I think after 2002, no team has hit 30 this quickly.
Wow.
So insane start, but it always feels like...
But I can tell you one thing, Sluk. When you're in that position, especially in the second round of the league, it becomes... Like, the team will be so nervous, because now everybody's catching up. Like, when you win, everybody wins. You draw, everybody wins. So now... If Chiefs needs to, I think second round of the league, it will actually push them, push them to the point where we could actually see or determine whether they're strong mentally or not. Because of with the squad that they have, you need to understand, as players, they need to understand that they need to play with pain, because there's no depth.
Sure.
They need to be able to play with pain. They need to be able to play with discomfort because of the team needs them.
I love this.
And you know, second round of the league is like, there's going to be after every 3 days, there's going to be a game.
Yes.
There's going to be a game. And now with looking at kids,
they're going to show their balls now. Too.
Yeah, players are getting injured. Players are falling down. So it's either maybe they're training too hard or they're unfit.
Yeah.
It's one of the two things. So now you need to, as a coach, you need to find the right balance, because second leg of the season, it's tougher than the first one. Because the first one, everybody knows, they're busy trying to... figure out how Kaiser Chiefs is doing and whatever the case might be. And you know how Kaiser Chiefs is. Two games without a win, the fans stop going to the stadium.
Yeah.
And then now with Sundowns, they're always going to pick up. We all know that.
Yeah.
Pirates, they just need to win 3 games in a row, gain that momentum. They're back in business.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's going to be one of those things. As Vets also, once they're done with the catch-up, they're back in business. So now they need to get as many points as they can, so that second round, when it becomes difficult, there's games that actually they won that are helping them to be on the top. But it's going to be very, very difficult for them.
It's those little 1-0 away wins of Baraka. Scrapes.
Exactly.
100%.
Yeah. And I mean, now Pirates is back in the conversation, you know, top 8.
Sure.
The 3-2 win against Polokwane.
Yeah, not convincing, was it?
And but also, what a weird game.
It was bizarre.
Questionable red cards there with that incident. And then
did you see them both fall down at the same time? Like a sack of potatoes.
It was really
like pre-planned.
It was like choreographed. They both go down. And neither of them actually got hit in the face.
No. And he's still tending to his nose.
Yes.
Come on, like, Lorch. What's happening, brother?
Simulation over here. And then the penalty is not a handball.
No.
So it's just, but still, I have to give it up for Coach Rulani. I still think that, you know, he did very, very well with his subs, bringing them on. They were all involved in the goals late on. So, you know, shaky at the back, late.
But, yeah, but it's concerning, eh? But still in search of that striker, eh? And it's in the
paper.
Thiago Bosa.
Krobler and Ntuli are in the discussion.
And Castro and Brocky. I can't see Castro going. I can't see Brocky going. And yeah. I don't know. What do you think, Tex? Krobler probably the likeliest?
For me, it's no disrespect to the other guys as well.
Sure.
I don't...
We don't disrespect on the show.
Yeah.
Never.
Bongi...
you, Simon.
Bongi Ntuli plays as a target man. And he will fit in very well in a team that plays for the target man. Your vets, Super Sport, Ntuli will be brilliant in those teams. Stellenbosch, for instance, will be very, very brilliant in that team. But with Pirates that play with so much diversity, we're going to be a problem. So now certain elements that he doesn't have that will be required in the game. That's why Gabuza couldn't be who he is today, Super Sport Day, because he's a target man.
Sure.
So now you find your Brocky also is still going to struggle because he is that kind of a target man that actually fades into the game, but he forever be there too when the opportunity comes and there's a goal. Yeah.
But he's not like very mobile.
So now every striker now that Orlando Pirates needs to get, they're always going to compare him to Nokovic. Nokovic is a big boy. But that moves, eh?
Yeah.
He moves. And now you find Krobler as well. Krobler is a goal poucher.
Yeah.
Like, he also...
Poacher. What, poucher?
I said poacher.
You said poucher. The f*** a poucher? Simon, what's a poucher?
Wait, let's go to... Yeah.
A goal poucher.
Simon, I said poacher. Shit. You the whitest white, yeah. Right, mate.
I'm not getting into
it. So with Krobler, he's very good in link-up play. Mm. He's a very smart footballer. And then if you can put him in the right team with a good number 10... Krobler will have equal goals as a number 10 because he's very smart, he's very selfish, he's very smart on the ball. But now you're going to play for a team that is very demanding, which is Orlando Pirates.
Sure.
And the last time Orlando Pirates actually had a striker that scored, that had a maybe top goal scorer, it was who? I think it was Leslie Manyatel or something like that.
That long ago?
I think it was.
Wow.
I don't remember any striker being in the top goal scorer at Orlando Pirates.
That's going back...
I might be wrong, but it's just that it's so difficult because of the demands that comes with being a striker at Orlando Pirates. I know I played there. Most of the people that actually get to score goals are midfielders, as number 10, your wingers. Yeah. That's Orlando Pirates.
He was a hell of a striker, Leslie.
No, he was. Wow. I wish I played with him. Yeah. But then these guys, also same, Castro, Brookie, they are the same. They've got the same type of play, but they just differ a little bit there. And I think a lot of problems with the way they play, they need to find a false number 9, like your Kimi Erasmus type of player, like your Kama type of player, you know, Sorino, players that can play as a false 9, but you forever find them beyond the defenders with the speed and actually get your goals. And the target man, they have a target man right now. They're still struggling to find goals because now the target man will forever be there, and Orlando Pirates are playing with so much diversity where their midfielders actually have to come into the box, they have to combine passes, but your target man is always on the way. So now you need somebody that is very mobile to create that space, to isolate one defender, but they can't because they're struggling with that. And
interesting. So you're saying none of these four?
It will never work.
Yeah.
No disrespect to all those guys, they can prove me wrong, but it will never work. Mainly because I've played with Castro, I've played with Ntuli, I've never played with Krobler. I wish I did, but I know how smart he is. Mm. And I know how Castro...
Not even national team? You must have played national team with him.
No, I never.
Really?
When he started, I retired. Okay.
I'm like, he timed that on purpose.
I wish I played with Krobler. I've always said he's so good.
Yeah.
Like his timing on the ball, the way he flicks the ball, like he doesn't just flick for the sake.
His awareness,
His awareness is very smart, and he has matured as a player as well. Ntuli, I played with him at Sundowns, and he struggled a little bit because I understand the way that we were playing at the time at Sundowns. Still, the way that Sundowns is playing, you know, with a lot of diversity. A striker, you need to be so mobile, you need to do certain things, and Ntuli is not that type of a player. That's why he's so good at Amazulu, because of everything comes to him. So at Sundowns, there's going to be this one must touch. Then you also have to touch. If your touch is not that good, we're not going to pass you the ball for the next 5 minutes, and then we need something else. So they're going to struggle a lot, but they can prove me wrong.
Yeah, what's interesting to me about Bradley and Ntuli is, one, Bradley, you know, over time, you mentioned that he's matured. Do you think that he has the right personality for an environment like Pirates, which is, it's very, I feel like SuperSport United is kind of like they nurture their boys there, you know what I mean? It's like very brotherhood-ish.
That's a good point. It could be the ultimate test for him. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure he wants to grow as a player. I'm sure he's, I wouldn't say he's comfortable at SuperSport, but what's his next step?
Yeah, you need challenges.
Absolutely. That's the next challenge.
It'll be great for his career. It'll be great actually to test himself as well. Mm-hmm. That, like I said, he can prove me wrong. Yeah. But he just did, you need to understand, people need to understand, especially players that are being called by all these big teams. You need to understand that, guys, the demands there are way different from your national team demands.
Yeah.
Way different from your actual team that you're playing for. The demands there are so big that you're expected to win every game. When you play for a small team, you're always looking up to, you're looking forward to playing Sundowns, Kaizer Chiefs, and
absolutely,
Pirates. And when you play for this team, Sundowns,
Kaizer every game is a final.
Every game is a final. Yeah. So you need to always elevate. That's why average players in these teams, they don't last.
Mm-hmm.
You always need to elevate yourself. And now that's the problem. Coming back to Orlando Pirates, that's the problem now. I think Lodge is in. I think that there's something that is playing in his mind.
Mm.
He's not the same player that he was last season. And I know the challenges.
Since he came back from AFCON, eh? Like something's not the same.
Yeah. It's just that the challenges that comes also with football of the day, he needs to understand you're a target. People are going to kick you. People are going to intimidate you.
Deal with it, boy.
Yeah. You need to deal with it because you're the best player in the league.
You know what's interesting about Lodge is on that stat sheet that we all got, he leads the league in passes in the final third, and yet I don't think he's registered a single goal or assist yet.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's kind of this weird time that he's going through where nothing seems to work in the final third, you know, and it's frustrating, you know.
Slu, when I hate saying when I was, but
when I was a young warthog.
All our minds went there at exactly the
when I won, here's the story. When I won Football of the Year the first time, we were number 8 on the lock, Orlando Pirates. So many people said, and there was no trophy like that, the PSL. They started inventing that trophy. That's so
the Teko Madisa trophy.
They should call it that, actually. I'm kidding. So now, when I, after winning it, there was this thing that I didn't win anything with the team. The team is number 8, blah, 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 all that stuff.
Mm.
So on the second season, I had to prove that I actually deserve winning that Football of the Year. So now it became tougher than it was the first season, you know? And now I had to adapt it to the fact that I'm going to be kicked. I'm going to be bullied on the pitch. Sometimes the referees, they're not going to care if you're Football of the Year or not.
Yeah.
Certain decisions are going to go against you because you're a target now. But then I had to find myself in between. It nearly messed me up because I stopped enjoying football.
Mm.
I was focusing on, I'm the Football of the Year. I need to do everything right.
Yeah, yeah.
And I figured I won this thing by enjoying the
game.
So I went back to enjoying the game, and my level also started going up.
So was that like just like a mental switch?
It was a mental switch, because I was getting off the second year there. I was getting kicked. I was bullied, and I was like, where does this come from?
Yeah.
Then I had to remember, Chief, you're a Football of the Year.
Yeah.
And now at the time, the sports journalists were killing me. I'm like, do you see why he doesn't deserve to be Football of the Year? Blah, blah. He's always on the ground. Blah,
and that
blah,
plays
blah.
In your mind as
that
well.
That plays in my mind as well. But, you know, the arrogance kicked in.
Yeah.
You know, and then I remember that, you know what? I can't be always nice on the pitch and be, you know, nobody's going
to
look out for me.
You've got to be arrogant to be the greatest, bro.
Yeah. So I started being arrogant on the pitch with my talent. I knew, and then I started having this belief that if I'm isolated with one viewer, nobody's going to stop me.
Mm-hmm.
I just strive for that. In every game that I played, because now I switched position, I was playing as a left winger now. Mm. So I said to myself, I know that I've never had speed in my life, and people actually thought that I had.
Mm.
But I knew that because of the way I think on the pitch with the ball as well, I said to myself, he doesn't know what I'm going to do. So there's no way that he can defend me. I just need to isolate myself. Let me get my 1v1s.
Yeah.
And I scored 11 goals that season. 11 or 12. 13 in all competition, if I'm not mistaken. So, and I took Football of the Year the second time. I think with Lodge, he needs to come back to enjoying the game the way he was last season. Forget about everything else. Enjoy the game and everything else will come back.
Yeah.
But now for you to actually start enjoying the game, you need to start afresh.
Yeah.
Do the basic things first.
Mm.
Master the basics first. And then once your confidence is up
there,
all the 100%. Talent will come through. You need to go back to basics.
Maybe you should call him.
Maybe.
I think I need to have a chat with him.
Let's have a chat with him.
What did you make of Coach Rulani's comments afterwards? Because he came to Lorch's defense and said, I think he said something like, ask any other player what trophy they have in their cabinet. Like he was like, who has the player of the season trophy?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, good. Like, but we know that's what Rulani does. He backs his players.
He really does.
Yeah. He'll probably give him
I love him for that, you know?
Yeah, man.
Rulani, keep doing what you're doing, mate.
And no. Just a touch on, sorry, Slew Dog. Just a touch on, Pirates coaches, or Mishu's in a bit of trouble at Zamalek there, old Turks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, the fans are not impressed with the style of play.
Yeah.
I think he's playing so many players out of position.
Mm.
I think it's the system that he wants to play there, and the fans are not happy. And you know how Egyptians are with their football. They always
You're not given time there either.
No. Zamalek is a big team, and they're calling for his head now. So I think, and they're playing, who are they playing?
TP?
They're playing TP Mazembe next. And I think if we lose against TP Mazembe,
we might be seeing him back in South Africa.
Yeah, we might see him there in Kempz Bay, chilling in South Africa.
Mitch, what you doing over here, man?
It's tough, man. It's tough.
And then I think the only one we haven't touched on is Sundowns AmaZulu. Sundowns with the victory there.
Mm.
Meza on the score sheet.
Yeah, it was. Highlands Park 1-1 a bit. Sundowns. Good away or good home win, I say, against AmaZulu. AmaZulu struggling, conceding yet again.
Yeah.
Pirates 3-2 Polokwane, you know, should never be conceding 2 at home.
Yeah.
Celtic 0-0 Cape Town City. Cape Town City really need to start picking up points there. How was that game, Tex? Just quickly, 2 minutes.
Unfortunately, I didn't see the game because I was at Kaizer Chiefs yesterday doing the game.
That was the quickest 2 minutes. Thanks, Diego.
But also on Orlando Pirates, I think I was speaking to this other guy that wrote to SuperSport yesterday, who was asking me about the game Orlando Pirates. I said, those are the kind of games, especially when you're in the position where you're at, where there's so many negative things. Those are the kind of games that you need to build the unity within the team.
That's a great 3 points, by the way.
You see those crappy games that you think that you couldn't have, you know, 3-2, 2-1 there. That mentality, it's going to help them in the second round of the league. Watch this space.
100%.
Definitely.
That's a good point, Tex. But my heartbreaker, 3-0 win for Chipper.
Right.
They actually listened to the show.
Chipper United 2020-2021 PSL champs. No, they're coming back, bro. Go to the betting side of your shows.
My heart is breaking.
Chipper's back. You guys are hating on the boys.
Okay, Arrows 1-0 away win against Baroka. Bounced back after that loss against Sundowns. Maritzburg lost 2-0 to Supersport, funny enough. I would have put my money on Maritzburg there, to be honest. Still on a high.
Yeah.
Supersport playing well, though. Away from home, great result for Supersport.
But maybe because of it took a lot from them, you know?
Yeah, sure, bro. Yeah.
Could be that 100%. Big pressure situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. But, I mean, Supersport, you would still, I think a lot of people would still put their money on Supersport on the day against Maritzburg.
Yeah. And that was a victory without Hrubla. Funny enough, he was sick. So still got some firepower up there, don't they?
And we have a blockbuster weekend, guys, ahead. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's excited about these weekend games. I know Teko's amped out of his mind. AmaZulu versus Maritzburg. Chipper versus Baroka.
Really, dude?
Prime.
Oh, man.
Really, dude? What a boring weekend of football, eh?
Yes.
I mean, I've got my top three here. I've got SuperSport versus Tellies. I've got Cape Town City versus Highlands. I've got AmaZulu versus Maritzburg. AmaZulu versus Maritzburg, obviously, KZN Derby. I'm going for a Maritzburg win. Me personally, I think AmaZulu are struggling big time. We don't want to go too long on this, but Cape Town City versus Highlands at home. Teko, Highlands Park buzzing.
But
fittest, probably the fittest team in the league, in my opinion.
I can say this without any arrogance whatsoever. When I played against Highlands Park, I never found any issues.
Mm-hmm.
They play 1v1 the whole game.
Yeah.
And for me, if
typical
you play
1v1, right?
It's easy for me to play because I can always play one touch and I'll get it the next
time. Correct.
So now, if we can't win against Highlands Park, then we're in problems.
Yeah.
Especially at home.
No, got it. SuperSport Stellies at home. Stellenbosch were terrible last night.
Yeah, it was bad.
Can you imagine
this? Robin Johannes, great footballer. We know him as a centre back.
Please.
Ne? He played as a midfield yesterday.
With all his pace.
Come on. He played so well.
He did, eh?
But he was the only one.
Yeah.
He's 33, Chief.
Yeah.
He's a hell of a pro. He's a
Where are the 22-year-olds? What are they doing?
It's unbelievable.
He was isolated. I'm surprised. Every time.
I'm surprised you guys got rid of him, to be honest.
No, we didn't get rid of him. They bought him, Chief. There's a difference.
Shows how much I know, eh? Yeah, 33 years old, still playing like a 20-year-old.
He played so well.
Where is the youth, Teko?
Yeah, the youth is on Instagram.
Yeah. Also, yeah, you can't be putting the team on your back. Meanwhile, you're older now, you know.
But you need support, especially with a team like Stellenbosch. You can only be good when you play as a unit.
Yeah.
Because this is your first season, you're trying to learn things. The only thing that you need to master now, because you're trying to learn, be as compact as you can.
Yeah.
They were not yesterday. They played like the number third on the lock.
Yeah.
They opening up like that against the Chiefs, you know that they strive on counter attacks.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, it was very sad to see that. But anyway, it was a great win for Kaizer Chiefs.
It was.
Nukovic 4-0.
Does Nukovic score goals without his head? Like, if you said Nukovic, you can't head of the ball.
Yeah, he did. He did. There's a ball that when he came in, and then there's a goal that he scored actually. That he from the left hand side.
He
needed to score the same goal yesterday.
He's a hell of a player.
I mean, no, hell of a player. But what I'm saying is also on the stats thing that we got, he leads the entire league in all aerial duels, whether it be defensive, whether it be in midfield, anywhere. He leads the league 27, something like that. Like,
really?
He's challenging for so many. And like, they're sending everything.
Works,
into.
Wow.
Yeah. He works so hard. Like, it's. I now understand why Castro is not playing as many games as Nukovic. Castro is not a worker, and Nukovic is. And Nukovic doesn't mind sacrificing himself for the team. So he gets where it's painful. And most strikers in South Africa, especially South African strikers, South African-born strikers, they're scared to feel pain. So Nukovic gets there where it's very
painful. Puts his head,
Absolutely, that's where you score goals. If you check also the first goal that he scored, if he was a second late, the goalkeeper's going to punch him. You know, but he gets
But he'll take it.
He'll take it. You know, he'll be on the ground, but the goal. If you remember, also, he scored the same goal against Sundowns where they kicked him as well. He couldn't celebrate because he was also on the floor. When was the last time you saw a South African striker doing that? They're scared to go where the pain is.
You got to leave
so
your
that's
career.
That's the difference between Nukovic and South African strikers, right?
Yeah, there we go.
True.
He's
indeed.
A complete striker, isn't he? Strong,
Most
tall,
definitely.
Beast.
We have any other games there?
Yeah, not much worth talking about, to be honest, eh? Locally. What I did find, though, which is pretty cool. I got hold of the Chelsea FC's first team internal fines section, which is pretty cool for the season. How cool is this? So, if you are late for the start of training, 380,000 rand fine. If you are late for the start of training.
380,000?
20,000 pounds. Because I'm so clever, I'm just doing the... transition.
Excuse us.
Three times the cost price of my car.
How's that? Late for team meetings, 8,500 rand per minute.
Per minute?
Me.
Per minute.
Your
phone ringing during team meal or meeting, 20,000 rand.
I would charge that to whoever called me. Your fault. You knew I was in the meeting. Chief.
Refusal for not turning up for corporate or community duties.
Yeah.
Teko, you know that?
That's important, actually.
80,000 rand.
Yeah.
Not reporting an illness before training, 200,000 rand.
Yeah.
I don't remember, I'm trying to think of my day. I can't remember ever paying a fine, but I can't remember there ever being a sort of schedule with fines. I don't know if you guys had it at all.
We had it at with Pizzo. I can't remember whether it was a Super Sport or something.
Yeah.
Pizzo was big on fines. Because I think he wanted to mold the team in a certain way.
Sure.
And at the time, there was just a bunch of youngsters that are trying to enjoy their lives, you know. And he'll have fines. He had crazy fines. I remember one day having a fine. He called it Tiko Melissa fine. I promise you. Because I had a car. Like, even when I was playing in Vela, I had a car. So I came to Supersport having a car.
Yeah.
So now I had to buy another car, you know, I had to upgrade. Once I've upgraded, so I put the sound system in, and my sound system was banging. So every day, and now we're training at the university. So Peter was always going crazy, like, you're making noise for the students and blah, blah, blah. So now from today, there's a Tiko Melissa fine. If I hear you playing music in your car so loud, then you're going to be fine. That was pizza though. Like, you always had fines, but the fines were not too much.
Sure.
But there were always fines, and then players, and some, I remember him turning away a player that didn't pay a fine. a training. Like, where's the fine money? And then the player started having excuses. They go back. It's either you go to the ATM to draw money and come back and train or go home.
Great.
And the player at that time, I think he didn't have money. Ish. So he went home. So, but that's how strict he was.
Great.
Yeah. And I think also at Cape Town City, there are fines. But now because there's a new coach, I've heard that there's fines now.
Yeah.
But he's the one that actually will fine you.
Yeah.
And then I don't think it's structured in a way that players actually know what the amount is. But he's the one that actually fines. I think him has got a warning first and then certain things. I think also with the fines that you spoke about, I think the importance of players of the community things, players don't understand that the sponsors are the ones actually bringing the money into the team.
Sure.
And yet when you have to do all those things, it's not because why they choose me, these things are boring. At the end of the day, you want to be paid. So who do you think is paying you?
Sponsors.
The sponsors are paying 100%. You. But, and with the sponsors, there's an agreement between the sponsor and the team.
I quite enjoy the community stuff.
Yeah, but most players, they don't understand the importance of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, the only thing that is important to them is come end of the month, my money is in my account.
Yeah.
And now you find players as well that actually do play football for the check, whether they're playing or not. They're not angry. They're okay.
Sad, eh?
It's very sad. Just give me my money, I'm okay. Mm. But now you find players that they'll prefer, give me less and let me play.
Right. Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's for me, for instance, I was at Sundowns. I was earning money.
Mm.
I wasn't enjoying myself because I wasn't playing enough.
Mm.
I said, okay, sharp. I'll go to Cape Town City and get less, but I'll play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just wanted to play.
And enjoy.
And enjoy because I wasn't doing it for the check at first.
Yeah, yeah,
You know, for me, football has always been the passion of the game.
But isn't it amazing? As soon as money gets involved, all the stress starts, eh? I think it's life in general.
Yeah. That's just like, you actually spoke about it the other day. Just,
more money, more problems.
That's what it's about. But I just feel like players need to understand it, guys. If you enjoy this game, if you love this game, it's going to show in everything that you you wish for will come to you.
Yeah.
Even the things that you never thought that you could do, they'll come to you because of now you're looking at the sponsors when they're sitting, they actually see what they want.
Yeah.
So you're not enjoying the game, you're doing it for the check and you're doing to please other people, you're thinking that's going to sustain you. It's not.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, as a footballer, what will sustain you is the brand, and you becoming a brand is important. So I think those kind of things, so those stuff that you talk about, that when you have to do for the sponsor and all that stuff, it's important because also the sponsors can see what kind of a person you are.
Yeah.
And the fans can also interact with the players, they understand who you are.
Yeah,
so I think that's important.
One of the biggest takeaways from that specific list is how much money they are earning over there. He's like, what?
Bro, yeah.
Imagine that's a fine. Like, that's a small piece.
Can I get paid for those fines? Just one player paying me that fine every
day. Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorted.
You know what I mean? Like
One month. You could possibly retire. Listen, if you're a top earner,
I get that late fine. Like, send me that 380,000. Like, you know the things I can
I'll
do.
Drive you to training. Early, man.
Those fines should go to like player development in foreign countries or something.
100%.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But
also I think maybe the reason why
the voice of reason. Thanks, Robin.
I think also the reason why the fines are so high, it's because
make sure they don't do it.
They don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, and also they're earning so much money. You know,
stupid.
You know, first contract when you get there, it's you so. So now you can't be focusing on my debit orders and all that stuff. Now your love for football should come back.
Yeah.
You know, and the love for football comes with commitment as well. That's why Ronaldo is who he is.
Mm.
Because he's committed to the game. His poverty is long sorted out when he joined Manchester United.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's sorted now. His love for football came back. Messi is sorted long time ago. All these players, those big players that we speak about, they got sorted long time ago.
Mm.
The ones that are still struggling to actually reach their level, it's because they still love to do certain things that are besides football.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for Neymar because I don't think he'll reach the level that he's supposed to.
Mm.
Because if he can get like 5% of commitment that Ronaldo has.
Can you imagine?
How does someone
with that talent?
With that talent.
It's like your talent, Simon.
Yes.
I was
your talent with women.
You know, I was having the argument. Sorry.
Yeah.
I was having an argument with my friend the other day.
Yeah.
Like he posted something about Ronaldinho being the most skillful player that he's ever seen or ever played the game.
Mm-hmm.
I said to him, are you talking skill or tricks?
Yeah.
That's what I asked him. Because skillful. And then I started to, I took the clips of Neymar, gave him the clips. Because he said, no, because of what he did to, I said, Ronaldinho, what he did to other players. I said, those players were big then.
Yeah, yeah.
Messi's still doing it now with players that are big now.
Yeah.
Neymar's doing it with players that are big now.
Yeah.
So what is it that you compare? Is it skill or tricks? Because Ronaldinho was very good in his tricks.
Mm.
Skillful player? Come on, let's think about it. How many goals has he scored, like, drilling five people?
Yeah.
Probably two.
Different type of player altogether.
Different type of player. We love him, but I'm just saying that if with the tricks and the skill that Neymar has, you know, with the talent that he has and his age as well, just 5% of the commitment into the game. He's got money. He had money when he was in Brazil. Mm. When I was in Brazil with the national team, I think he was 16 years old. People were speaking about him.
Yeah.
He had Ferrari then. Chief, you got money now. Come back to football. Now he's always on fashion. What? He's wearing the cap, looking like this. He doesn't know whether to grow his hair or his beard. Yeah. Ah, Neymar play football, my friend.
Please put the cap back on.
How does someone, like, forget about that level. How does someone become a professional in the PSL and not enjoy the game? Like, how do you get to be that good without enjoying it?
But I think the problem is most people, they enjoy the game before they become a professional footballer. Once they become a professional footballer, once they get known, that becomes a drug. Now, what brings food on the table becomes secondary. So I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
Where fame becomes the thing and then
it's football. All the in between, bro.
Yeah. So I think that's the biggest challenge.
It's kind of like when you went to college and suddenly every girl was throwing themselves at you. And, you know, you get
Literally,
a big...
How do you know, bro? Huh?
We know. Simon is a player pimp Mac Daddy. Right? We've been there.
It's a fame, dude. It's a fame.
Let me throw you guys back real quick. This first on this day is kind of a weird one because I don't have much backstory. I'm just assuming there was some European war nonsense going on at the time. But on this day, Mayor Ode of Rotterdam forbid a soccer match between the Netherlands and Germany. So that's in 1938. I don't have much backstory as to what led to the decision. I just
know
your
f***ing research.
It was very close to the war. So, like, okay. I'm assuming Germany.
Killed someone.
Yeah, they were like, Germany's not the one. But also, also on this day in 2006, Italy defender Fabio Cannavaro won the Ballon d'Or.
What a player.
Yeah. Last defender to win it. But you will see. This year it's looking like real close.
Yes.
Virgil's on the brink over there.
For sure.
All right. Then I spoke to Riyad Peterson for my starter pack. We had a great one. He's hilarious.
I love this, bro, because we get to know, like, you know, before they became big names. Yeah. How they sort of started, if you like.
Absolutely love his make mama proud moment, because it really is like one of those before he became big things.
Yeah. On,
my first make mama proud moment.
Getting chose to represent South Africa with the Nike Academy.
Before that.
Going overseas, I think that was a proud moment. And matriculating definitely was also a proud moment, because I think she was very nervous and scared for me. I think she used to pray all the time, thinking, hey, this boy's not going to make it. So I think that's a proud moment.
Fantastic. I love, matriculating was the...
Did he say getting chose?
He might have.
Yeah, getting chose.
Can you play it back? Getting chose?
My first make mama proud moment.
Getting chose to represent.
Getting chose.
Yep.
Sounds
like English.
Did he pass the
trial and handy?
Yes, that sounds low-key gangster, like, yo, I got chose to go.
Yeah, I got chose, now I'm saying.
Mother, we are here, so.
But I mean, he also, it was such a great show. He speaks about, you know, a bunch of moments from the past. This one was also quite good.
My first goal! Conceded.
Amateur level, I was playing for Mondio Medios, and I think we played against Orlando Pirates. Man, they used to thrash us. They used to give us hidings, like 14-0 and that. So that was like my first years of becoming a goalkeeper. So, yeah, and they used to punish us, like hammer us.
Hammer? That you shouldn't share, eh? 14-0?
That's what, okay, I want to know, biggest loss of your career. This must be especially tough for you, because you would have had to see every goal go past.
He had to fetch every ball.
Every ball.
I think my back's still sore, hey? I think I was playing in Singapore. We lost, I think it was 5-1.
5-1.
Yeah, and it was like a semi-final of a cup. It was quite depressing, actually.
Yeah, I don't know how Riyad has confidence in life with 14-0.
Oh,
that's tough. But he conceded 12. Just a day ago.
Who?
2 days ago. You were playing futsal there. You considered what?
Ace.
Nice.
My back's still sore from carrying the team.
It was primary school level, but I played field hockey and we got beat
of
17.
Course you did.
We got beat 17-0 one day.
What?
And I was a defender. I was just like.
And that was the beginning of the end of your hockey career.
I don't even know. I don't
never played
remember.
Again.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. Soccer. Loss, I don't know.
Soccer, I last played in high school, like, you know, properly
when
cared
last year.
About it. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I remember it like it was yesterday. Must have been 3-4-0, 4-0.
4-0.
But the biggest loss I ever took, biggest L I ever took, was playing rugby second team.
There's no ways in hell you played rugby, Slu.
Played rugby second team, highest, that was as high as I could go.
There's no shot.
Scrum half. And we lost like 49-0.
I want to see photos of this.
Oh no, those are buried, fam. Deep in the box at home.
Slew dog, rugby player.
Speaking of getting beat, Riyad definitely feels like he can beat a whole bunch of people at something awfully specific.
Oh yes.
Xbox versus PlayStation.
PlayStation 4, definitely. And I think I must just put it out there, in the PSL, I think I'm one of the best FIFA players.
Oh, wow.
I just thought I'd add it in there as well. Now, yeah. I'm excited to see the challenges come up.
Oh, Riyad.
Do you hear this?
The passion.
What's funny is
all the boredom.
Previously, players were all like, "Nah, I don't play games. I don't play no games." And he's just like, "Nah, I'll smash anybody."
Yeah, good boy. What a keeper. What a guy.
Also, you know, FIFA or Sony, you know, we can make this happen. We can do something.
What's up, brother? Do you play TV games, Tego?
No.
See, I mean, I've never, ever, ever played a TV game.
Well,
yeah, I'm such an addictive personality that I refuse to do it.
As in, you've never touched, you never like a.
That's why I refuse to go into casinos as well.
I've never played games.
Refuse.
Like I suck at it. Like I don't. I hate losing. So
yeah.
It's just that I had PlayStations. I'll buy them to use them in conversations.
Uh-huh.
Like I also have a PlayStation, but I never played. So I'll give it away. And be bored again, because I was always alone. So I'll get bored again. I'm like, let me buy a PlayStation.
You're not alone now.
I'm trying to play, but I always suck. So, but I always enjoy watching other people play. But for me, games, it's just that I hate losing. So if I want to play something, I need to be good at it. If I'm not, I'm going to play.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It goes at the macro, like, can I get the, I think it's the Sony Playbox.
Yeah.
To go.
Yeah.
Can I get the Y-Box 3?
Yeah. Let me play FIFA Evolution 20, please.
Is that all? Is that all with...
From Riyad, yeah.
Okay,
Riyad.
Cool. And then we got the 10 quick fires from Lala K, my boy. So these are the cool questions that obviously the average journo won't be asking them. So pretty chilled and laid back.
Who is the funniest guy in the PSL that you have played with?
It's Dennis Onyango, funny, I'm thinking our characters. Patrick Tiniem was also a character. It's mostly the goalkeepers, I know that. And at Cape Town City, it was Felix.
Who is the flashiest dresser that you have played with?
Bilangkulu. Bilangkulu. Yeah.
And then who is the worst dressed?
Worst dressed. Patrick Tiniem.
And then what is the worst mistake that you've made in a match?
In a match, for me personally, it was the penalty that I missed in the MTNH final against SuperSport two seasons ago.
And then, who is a teammate who thinks he's funny but he's actually not?
Musa Lebusa.
Who is the loudest player that you've played with?
Dennis Onyango, Kennedy, Mwini, and Plompo Kekana.
What is your best footballing memory?
Winning the league with Sundowns.
And then, what is your favorite car?
Favorite car. That's the one I'm driving now with BMW M2 competition.
What is your favorite local food?
Macaroni and cheese.
And then what is your favorite holiday destination? Last one.
I don't really have one, but I would like to go to Maldives.
To the Maldives.
Yeah, okay. Hopefully next year, off season.
I don't think people understand what local food means.
Yeah,
macaroni and cheese.
They just assume, I guess they just think their favorite food here. But
what,
like,
my mom made me.
Yeah.
Growing up. That's like
when I was four.
Yeah, because mac and cheese is essentially Italian, but like by way of America, essentially. Because I don't think many Italian families are even like...
They've never heard of macaroni and cheese, but I guarantee you. Okay, moving on swiftly.
Yes.
Champions League Tex.
Dude.
Talk me through it, bud. Lionel Messi, yesterday, reaching a...
King.
King dog.
King.
He breaks Champions League record by scoring against 34 different Champions League opponents.
Yeah. Anybody.
And it was his 700th game, no?
700th game, bro. Yeah. Isn't that just like...
Imagine on a 700th game, you have an assist, two assists, and a goal. Like, who does that?
Someone who doesn't get injured.
And then you come back, and then we have to discuss who needs to win the Ballon d'Or.
You know,
I mean, why are we even discussing that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
the previous Ballon d'Or winner didn't even score 10 goals in any season.
True. If ever there was a year where I thought it should have been Messi, it was last year. I just didn't get Modric. I get Van Dijk though.
No, but I think even people that actually selected Modric is a good player. But I'm sure that they realized that they made a mistake because he's not even nominated this time around. And it's very weird when a previous winner is not nominated the next year.
True.
So with Messi, I understand they actually trying to break this Messi and Ronaldo thing, you know.
But
you know, but.
But it gets people talking like me and you right now.
But I know Van Dijk has done so well defensively for Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
But the magic, guys, he's breaking records week in, week out. His assist is insane. Mm. He's playing proper football.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the day Messi retires, it's going to be like when they're going to be doing studies about him probably in universities.
Yeah.
Like if you want to be a great footballer, they're going to be taking left side of...
Studies of Robertson Messi.
Yeah, yeah. There's going to be one of those things. And Ronaldo as well. It's the same conversation. But it's just that with Ronaldo, because of he's in a very, very difficult league, he might not reach the best of his abilities because it's very, very strange there in Italy. It's very rare for find a player who scores 30-something plus games.
That's crazy, yeah.
You know? Yeah. And then I also want to touch on Lewandowski, who you recently said easily the best striker in the world. I think he cemented that.
It's crazy.
This record...
Is he 10 goals already in the Champions League?
10 goals in the Champions League already. I think he scored...
Every game. This season in Champions League.
Yeah, he scored every game in all competitions for Bayern Munich.
Wow.
10 in the Champions League alone. 4 goals in 14 minutes and 31 seconds in their match against Red Bull Salzburg. Red Star.
Red Star.
Just the most. Also, we forget that this is the guy who scored 5 in 9 minutes a couple seasons ago.
Yeah.
So he loves doing this thing of just like. He'll just hammer one goalkeeper.
That's how good he is, though. And if you look at his structure, he's a very tall guy, very big guy, but he's so mobile.
Low sense of gravity.
Yeah, yeah. He hardly scores with his header, but he does. But most of the time, he knows where he needs to be. He's forever there.
So
like Mark Williams would say, he's forever there in the kitchen. You know, he always tap ins. And for him to do this regularly, it's just that people like that, they don't get so much credit.
Yeah.
You know, for that to do that regularly in that high level of football is insane.
Mm.
You know, and those are the people that need to be spoken about.
Yeah.
You know, your Messi's, your Sane Maniman now that he's doing. You know, those are the kind of guys that we need to speak of because you're doing that regularly on the high level of football.
Yeah.
It's amazing, guys, because it's very, very difficult to maintain that every year, to find a drive every year, to set new goals like... Your Messi is at 40 goals. I need to score 45 next season.
Man, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
You can't
Ronaldo.
Teach that bro.
You can't.
You cannot teach that.
We just need to be fortunate that we have so many good players that are playing right now. And we just hope that the Mbappes will come through once the current crop retires. You know, your Neymar will come through.
Cause hopefully.
Still waiting for Hazard to show. Did he sign for thingy?
Madrid.
Madrid?
Yeah, yeah.
Did he sign?
Is
he playing there?
Yeah, he's playing there, yeah.
I'm yet to see him.
He didn't do too badly in the Champions League, actually.
But in Chelsea, he was great.
Yeah.
He was God.
It's just that he's dribbling from very deep. He used to be very...
Chief, that guy... Do you remember the goal that he scored against your team? Did he dribble from where?
The team we don't talk about.
Did he dribble from where?
Listen,
wasn't that deep from the center line?
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. So don't come create excuses. Yeah, also, like he didn't dribble from deep.
But I'm talking about Arsenal.
He did it against Arsenal, so
exactly. Does it count?
But anybody can do it.
Let's move on.
Speaking of which, we might as well just start there because I'm predicting a Norwich win over Arsenal. I'm predicting Pookie is going to come to Timu Pookie has been quiet recently.
I'm going to arrive. I'm going Norwich win over Arsenal. I'll just drop my water.
Swag.
I'm going a Chelsea win over West Ham in the London Derby.
Of course.
Yes.
And I'm going a Man United Aston Villa draw.
I'm going Man United win.
What do you think, Tex?
I'll give Man U a chance this time around. Maybe a win, narrow win there because Man U, guys. I think Captain City need to write the letter to Manchester United for a friendly, you know.
To get the confidence up.
Yeah, we need to get the confidence up. And we play them at Huddersfield Stadium, not a Captain Stadium.
For which team?
Captain.
Yeah, exactly. For which team?
So,
you're going United, eh?
Yeah. And right. Then as for Norwich and Arsenal, I think it might be a draw.
Okay.
Because, merely because I don't think players are happy. They could see even, what's your striker?
French. Oh, Lacazette.
Yeah, even when he scores, he doesn't celebrate.
He wants out, bro.
Yeah, he wants out. So people are not happy there.
Chelsea West Ham?
Disappointed with the goal.
Even the coach is not happy with himself. Huh?
Chelsea West Ham?
Chelsea West Ham!
London Derby?
Ah, Chelsea, my
friend. Yeah, I agree.
Most definitely. Convincing win. 2-0, out.
Out of there.
Easy.
What car should they be driving out of there in?
So, this car of the week, I have chosen my good friend, old Captain Klumpy. Kekana drives the...
Sorry.
Looked like you needed a second to gather, please.
Yeah, sorry, because I've
please,
lost
don't butcher his name, please. Can you please start afresh? What's his name?
I'm just going to call him Captain Kekana. Klumpo.
You said Klumpy.
Klumpy, sorry, my brother. Klumpo.
He also read
it. That's the castle life from last night.
You had to get it in gear.
Klumpo. Klumps. He drives the VW Arteon, which I didn't even know existed. Which comes at a cool 780,000 rand, but he gets it sponsored.
Yeah. Oh,
how cool is he?
That's the way to go.
From Polokwane VW.
Is that where it's from?
Yeah.
So a little bit jealous right now.
Yeah.
There's a couple of players that get sponsored cars. I think Happy gets one.
Temba Zwani as well.
Shabs used to get one.
Yeah, Shaba. I used to get one when I was still good.
10 years ago,
which was last season.
Yeah,
and there's a couple of guys.
There's a handful.
Well.
Yeah.
All right, interesting.
Do we have a joke of the day?
My man, you know what? I'm trying to get players to send in jokes, but they are really. So I've got another cracker. Obviously, a football joke.
Yeah.
Oh no.
How did the football pitch end up as a triangle? Somebody took a corner.
Wow. I think we need to ask players to send jokes.
Yeah. It can't possibly be worse than yours.
I'm trying to keep it football related.
We need to call Monip.
Yes! Monip will send
Monip
us a joke.
Joseph will send us
Monza! Motivational quote of the week. Just to end off quickly, guys.
Yeah.
Again, from our Klompo, Captain Kekana.
Yeah.
If you see the beauty in something, don't wait for others to agree. Deep.
He always writes deep stuff, but he never speaks about it. Like, it's very weird. I just want to find a dictionary that he takes these things from, or whatever booklet that he takes this thing from. Because I know he's my friend. He forever has this kind of things. But, yeah,
great
my
guy,
man,
he's a
great dude.
So, we get ready.
Seven to the game.
We get ready for the best weekend in PSL this week. Right?
Don't stop.
Thank you, boys. That was magic.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming through, as usual.
Yeah.
Also, welcome to the newest addition on our desk. Just want to point that out.
Clinton Roper's left foot.
This is his actual left boot.
He has got elephantitis. We have been told he's well hung. I don't know why, but anyway.
And that is how we wrap up the car wash. Rinse you down. Get out of here. All right. Drive home, you know. It's been real. From myself, Slu Paho, Sean and Teko.
Grazie mille.
Yes, sir.
Peace.
We out.
Peace.
We are out.
Today is a great day for car wash.
Yeah, sure.
Car that wash. Wasn't Bell's day, eh?
This is the car wash on Sokola Duma Radio. This is a Hangana Corner.